Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever Mike wants to cook up, that's what Mike does best, go out in the offseason and cook. No, I trust Mike. I trust his group. For me, as a manager of the team, it's all about who the players are in the clubhouse. You know, I'm not going to, you know, talk about who we should get. That's not my job. That's Mike's job. He's pretty good at it. Actually, really good at it. Please, Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, like my job is just the players in the clubhouse. So, you know, whoever's in there, we're going to pour into them and get the most out of them.
First of all, for those of you criticizing Albernaz for the way he commented on that, I want you to call in right now and let me, Jeremy, and Ed know where you work. And then I want you. Then we're going to ask you a question about your job. And I want you to be critical or go against the flow of what they're doing right here on radio. Because there are more people watching him yesterday than listening to us. And we're top two shows in the area. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of listeners. Mm-hmm. So the criticism of him for his response is absolutely insane. You all want people to do and say things that you don't have the balls to do or say on a smaller stage.
Yeah.
On a smaller stage. That's what, whether he believes that or not is irrelevant to me. That's what he's supposed to say. Whether he believes or not will remain to be seen. We'll see whether he really believes that. Now, to the topic at hand, I trust Mike Elias, period.
I do too.
Period. That's it for me. I trust him.
So first off, I hated the question that the Sun writer asked about to Rubenstein about Elias and did he deserve that? Like, you're introducing the manager of the team, and now you're going to make it about something else. When, if you look at last year, you could sit here and talk about how frustrating the offseason was. Mm-hmm. Even if they had a good offseason, the way that you wanted them to, this is still happening because of all the damn injuries. Like,
But you can't say injuries.
Yeah, it can't be something
can't
that's
be,
wrong
with
it.
Yeah, injuries. Yeah. Can't be injuries.
Even though your three best players at played six games together.
What's wrong with the Orioles and you can't say injuries, Jeremy? What's wrong with the Ravens? You can't say injuries.
Can't.
It?
Nope.
I don't get this, and in the vitriol towards, like, even Mike Elias yesterday making the moves, and I think it's next level looking at the Cubs going, after seeing what happened with Shota Imanaga, they didn't bring him back. You're going, wait a minute, you're not bringing him back for that price? They're clearing up some room so they can make a serious run at Kyle Tucker because they can't afford to lose him.
Would you go at the Imanaga?
I don't. His splits, he's very good at Wrigley and very questionable on the road.
Okay.
He's still a good pitcher. It would all depend on the price. I want Framber Valdez.
First 13 games, ERA under 2.5. Last 12 games, ERA over 5.
When he was on the road, he was getting annihilated. Even so much so that they didn't necessarily trust him in the postseason. He was coming in and doing the whole spell thing where he'd pitch a couple innings and then they'd go to someone else. But with the task that's at hand and you're looking at it, Mike Elias calls the Cubs or makes a deal with the Cubs and gets Andrew Kittredge back for cash.
That was...
You got a 17-year-old prospect that was a top 10 prospect internationally, and you get him and then you go get Andrew Kittredge back in a lost season.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't care what you think or if you'd like Mike Elias or not. Why can't you look at that move and say, man, that was a great move?
That was brilliant, yeah.
And then there's still people online going, you got a reliever, big deal, what about... Okay.
You need a reliever. We all said they have to rebuild the bullpen, did we not? So what do you want to do? You want to do it in order? Well, let's do this first because this is the greater need. And let's let all these other pieces go by because your priority, your number one priority is something else. No, you can't sign players by number one priorities. You have to sign them when they're available.
And they sat here and talked about, like, even that question that was asked about Elias. And then he goes, well, you know, he was an executive of the year, right? Like, did we miss something? And for all the people here that want to go back to the other days, when has our farm system ever been this good? When have we had international players? When have we been involved in everything?
Here's Rubenstein's response to that question by the Baltimore Sun reporter.
You know, Mike was American League Executive of the Year a few years ago. He knows baseball inside out.
He's shy and doesn't like to promote himself, so we didn't make a big announcement about it. But Mike deserves everything that he has received from the Orioles. He's done a spectacular job, and we have great confidence in him for many, many years into the future.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. I don't know how you could argue that. And why do people insist on going after this guy?
I love what
the Kittredge thing was chess. I'm totally plagiarized from a natural, but it was. That was a beautiful chess move. You get somebody for him and you buy him back for cash. Who does that?
I mean, do you remember when the Yankees did it probably to a larger extent when they traded Aroldis Chapman for Torres? And then what did they do? They signed Aroldis Chapman in the offseason and brought him back. So it's like you got both things. You know, you got something back of extreme value.
Ed, you do realize you're just Shiloh.
What?
Totally plagiarizing. And then you went to the knock. Plagiarizing who? Who are you plagiarizing?
I don't know his name.
You just stopped at plagiarizing, and then you went to the next sentence.
No, that was correct. Okay. I was plagiarizing. I don't know who it was. I just took someone else's work. And
he ain't say, hey, Rob.
Yeah. I actually had a point. So it's like,
well, the other thing with this too is like all the discussion. I love when people go, he's been here 8 years and we've got no playoff wins. Five of those years we're in a goddamn rebuild.
Yeah.
Like what do you expect to happen in those years? I mean, just like all I'm asking is some people to be realistic when it comes down to it. I'm okay. Like the Tyler O'Neill signing. I get why people didn't like it. They didn't get Garrett Crochet.
I like this. I don't like who he is in terms of injuries, but at the same time, for what they're paying for him, for a city that complains about not spending money, they signed a guy that they knew, if he's good, he's going to put up numbers. It's not your money. That doesn't handicap them. That doesn't handcuff them. The owners, how often do the owners have to tell you finances are not as big of an issue
and
with
people,
these guys?
Are you still not going to spend? Because I've seen it all these years when you guys didn't own the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not your money. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
What's good, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
The only thing I just don't like, Rob and Jer and Ed, is this, man. It just feels like, as far as Mike Elias is concerned, it feels like one is greater than the sum. These are great moves, fellas. This guy's trying.
What's not a great move? Explain that to me.
I'm sorry, Rob. I said these were great moves. Sorry,
okay,
I just came off mouse surgery
right
yesterday. They were great moves, like you said. It just feels like he's so much more important than the team to me, right?
Okay.
Like that's all it is, fellas. It just that's what I don't like.
Who was wait, I didn't say
Elias.
Elias is more important than the team? In what way? Like, I think that's immediate creation.
It's the only name we hear. That's all we hear about all day long is Mike Elias, Mike Elias, Mike Elias.
I think that's a creation of the local media, frankly.
Also, Kevin, can I remind you of someone who kind of had the same personality? He ultimately won, but Theo Epstein.
He was the one that made that trade I just talked about.
Theo Epstein was the same guy. He overshadowed the Boston Red Sox. He did because he made all the moves. Also, Billy Beane. It's not those guys who play chess tend to do that. I'm not saying you're wrong, Kevin, but guys who play chess and play the game like those GMs play the game naturally overshadow everything else because they are the puppet masters. They are the ones making all the moves. They're the ones pulling all the strings. You're not wrong, but others have had the same persona in that role and have been successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And those are good examples, too.
I respect that, brother.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
No, he's not. But it's like, but these guys, like Billy Beane, you know, there's a book and a movie made about that guy for a reason. And it's like, you know, and Epstein, same thing. He was like, you know, the boy genius. And he was. I mean, I think Elias is in that category. It's like the guy's made some great moves here. For people to discount it, look, this season was an abomination, but it was an outlier because everybody got hurt. That stat about the stars not being on the field at the same time was stunning.
Yeah.
They didn't play.
The same people are doing this were the same ones that trashed him for the Trevor Rogers trade and didn't look at it like you should, that there's two players that aren't going to play here, and the best situation for them would be to go to Miami, and then you get a pitcher back. Trevor Rogers ends up pitching his ass off after everyone murdered him.
Once again, what Ed said, what the other guy said, chess. Yeah. His moves are chess. Yeah. He's not doing it. You may not understand the here and now, but I have a plan.
He reloaded this farm system in a losing year.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, the farm system, great. Let's go win double A or triple A. How do you think this happens? How do you think when you're looking at it and somebody's like, God, man, where'd the Blue Jays get a Trey Savage? Well, he came through the farm system. Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah.
Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, all members of the O's brass felt they could be a lot like the 2025 Blue Jays in 2026. Do you share this optimism? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought it was a very talented team. It has been a very talented team, even last year when things didn't work out too well for them. But I think what they demonstrated is the right mix, made some changes, and they were able to kind of replace the mojo that they've been lacking the last couple of years, and that team was really close and played with a lot of flow all year round. But our team played really well against the Blue Jays in 2025, and it just goes to show how close the talent level is and remains in this division.
Kyle Bradish, Dean Kramer, Trevor Rogers, hopefully they can get Grayson Rodriguez back, or if not, even whether they do or not, go out and get a free agent pitcher. Samuel Basayo, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, Jordan Westberg. Why would the Orioles not believe that they can go on a run, Ed? Why would they not believe that?
Be in their head. Why would you not believe? You have a star-studded roster, albeit they underperformed last year. Even the guys who were healthy, Adley didn't have a great year. Gunnar, I think, underperformed. You know, the guys did not perform up to what we know they can. But you got a lot of talent. And then you stumble into a Trevor Rogers. You know, you have other guys on the roster. You have Bradish. You have Eflin if he comes back. You have real talent here. Mm-hmm. So why would you think you can't be successful, honestly?
Look, part of me wonders if I even want the people around when the parade happens that just sat here and bitched the entire time about this one off season and how things have gone, and then saying that ownership's not going to speak. You haven't even given them an opportunity to show you that they can, that they're going to. And honestly, you know what I feel like? I feel like this past off season was more about getting value than it was about going out and spending money. And now I don't think that can be the case anymore. Like Tyler O'Neill, when you look at it, comparatively speaking to Anthony Santander and what was paid, you'd go, even though that wasn't great, that's a steal compared to the $100 million you would have dropped on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for all the people that want to sit here and talk about, oh, you didn't sign this starting pitcher. I'm not signing any starting pitcher in this league to an 8-year, 9-year deal. Nope. I'm just not.
Not either. Jeremy, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago right here on this show. And I asked you and Ed, I said, who has more to prove, front office or owners? And initially you guys said front office. I said owners. And because I feel like the owners – they got to go out and spend. Yesterday, David Rubenstein, we'll talk about this for a segment in the 8 o'clock hour, but I want to bring it up now. He said there are no financial barriers when it comes to building the roster. He even said something about deep pockets. Am I right? The investors have deep pockets. This is what he had to say.
We have the resources to acquire the players that we need to make the team work. So we don't have particular financial constraints. We have an investor group that's pretty deep-pocketed, and so we're able to do what we need to do.
But you know,
how many times has he said that?
A ton.
And that's something you don't hear. I don't remember ever hearing that before.
He said that
deep pockets.
He's trying to calm the seas. Listen, folks.
Yeah.
No owner is going to get up there and not just say that one time, but double, triple, quadruple down on this. And when the time comes, back out because of money. They offered a pitcher $45 million a year last year. They didn't tell us that. The pitcher told us that.
Right.
Orioles didn't tell us that. The pitcher said they offered me that. I wanted to go home. Yes.
And people still blamed him.
Yeah.
Even when he said he wanted to go to Arizona.
I mean, come on. I took less money because I wanted to go home.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the Orioles.
Right.
It had nothing to do with the money. It had something to do. I just had twins.
Because people forget how young these guys are. They have young families. They're young men.
Yeah.
They have little kids. Would you want to, so you have a 20-year career. Would you want to spend it away from your children?
And somebody,
not if you can help
like
it.
The caller asked yesterday, why does it more matter more in baseball than football? Because football plays once a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They play once a week. You go practice for a couple of hours, you go back home. Baseball is a grind. And I'm telling you this, folks. You see the 7 o'clock games? Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the stadium at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Some of them get to the stadium before, I think some of them get there before me. They get there at 1:30.
It's 162 games in 181 days. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
No financial constraints.
162 games.
By the way, the other thing that I want to point out, and I know nobody cares and doesn't want to hear it, the past 2 years in free agency have not been great. There were a couple of pitchers last year. And then you look at what they got, what the Dodgers gave Blake Snell, what the Dodgers, you know, when they acquire, we talked about some of these Japanese pitchers, whether it was Sasaki coming over and then Yamamoto the year before, and people were interested, like, oh, are we going to go after any of those guys? And the answer, you know, primarily being no, you're not typically going to do it. And then you start looking at the trade market. We don't know what they asked for Garrett Crochet. And maybe, in my mind, of all the things, maybe that was a swing and miss. But the people that wanted them to trade Kobe May or whoever, you were the same people saying trade Basayo, trade Jackson Holiday the year before. Because they're not on the Major League roster.
Mm-hmm.
Trade them. I want something now. And it's like, I almost feel like a lot of our fan base, if we were in some sort of apocalypse and we had this amount of food, they're going to eat it all and then say, what are we doing now? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, instead of going, oh, this is what we need to do to make this work. And baseball, we talk about football being a different business because of the salary cap and what they have. Baseball's a totally different beast, too, with all the different positions, the injuries that happen across the board, and trying to sign these guys to guaranteed deals and making sure you don't make a big mistake.
Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right, man. What's on your mind, buddy?
Happy Hump Day Wednesday, guys.
Yep. Middle of the week. Candy. We made it.
Yep. Can the Orioles be competitive in the AL East next season? And you guys have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely they can. They can. It's a matter of will they, but I believe they can. I have no doubt in my mind.
And what of substance did they trade away last year? I mean, let's be honest. Like, you like Ramon Laureano. If you liked him, that was a great signing because now it brings back one of the best pitchers now in their farm system from San Diego, along with Ryan O'Hearn, another expiring contract. Like, it was not a great offseason to go sign players. And guess what? This year, it's not a great offseason either for what the Orioles are looking for.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a bad trade.
What?
I like Laureano, but I didn't think it was a bad trade.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you signed Laureano and got something back for him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you think about the free agents last year, tell me who the great bats were that signed. Kyle Tucker? Well, Kyle Tucker was traded.
Traded, yeah.
There wasn't anything. There was nothing of like great substance to go out
and
get.
There was no change your franchise talent.
And the Orioles didn't trade away anything of substance. That core is still here. They need to rebuild the bullpen and find a closer. And I think they need a bat in the middle of the lineup to go along with it and a starting pitcher. And you know what? I think they're going to get all of it in the offseason.
Kevin in Catonsville. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Good morning to you.
Hey, Jeremy, I'm going to start sending you my money so you can place my bets for me because your stuff be working out, but I don't be putting it in the right order. So, look for my money.
All right.
Hey, you know, I started looking at, as I got older, in 1979, I cried when the Orioles lost. I still hate We Are Family, Sister Sledge. I don't like none of that music, right, because of 79. But with people, well, a lot, as I grew older, I looked at it like, you know what? Professional athletes, for some of them, this is a job. You know, they invested in this as, hey, I'm good at what I do. This is my job. And I look, you know, just like an independent contractor. You're going to go what fits you best. And just because Michael Elias ain't bringing this big name and all that don't mean that's not in the process. I wasn't in the meeting sitting there. We don't know if, hey, I called the Cubs to get this guy, and they said no. I don't want to, you know, deal with, you know, lose what they wanted. I don't want to pay the price, and that's fine. A lot of people it's just entertainment for me. So I just look at it as he's going to do the best he can with what he got. And the reason people are upset because we're not winning World Series is because of Mike Elias and what he built in the last 8 years. You got some guys with a microphone, not you guys. You know, just like they got a personal vendetta against the GMs in Baltimore. Sometimes you got to be smart and prudent. And I look at them like, damn, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm going to run my business what's going to be the most profitable to the ground like Pittsburgh, but we're not spending like the Dodgers.
Hey, Kevin, let me ask you this. You guys, I know you live in Catonsville now. Are you from the city originally?
Cherry Hill.
Yeah, West Baltimore?
Yeah. Rob, you just picked up on that?
Yeah, I picked up on it a little bit. I can tell by his cadence. I'm from West Baltimore.
He's from Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill.
Yeah, I can tell by his cadence.
Cherry. That's what I picked up.
Okay. Picked up Cherry Hill?
Cherry.
Is that like our biggest export, the cherries from Cherry Hill?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in Cherry Hill.
I got what you're saying right now, the way you pronounced it. Cherry,
Okay. And I spent so much time down there. By the way, one of the scariest places in the city, because it's geography.
Yeah. Really?
To me, it was. Because I was always looking tactically when I'd visit, because I'd ride the city every day. Cherry Hill, it's geographically tough to get out of it if it gets real.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Some fans express frustration with the Ravens' unwillingness to make a big splash trade with a high draft pick. Do you think they care too much about draft picks and not enough about now? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but right now, some Ravens fans, Jeremy Connor, big man. The trade deadline is coming gone. Ravens with no big, quote-unquote, splash trades, not giving draft picks away, major draft picks away. They're big mad.
Let me ask you this. There were two big splash trades, and I would even say there's some other good ones. Like, I think Jalen Phillips was another good get that maybe the Ravens could have been in on if they wanted to give up a third-round pick for him, I believe.
Yeah.
But the other two big trades that happened, I would have loved to seen Quinnen Williams here.
Like, not for that price.
Wouldn't, yeah.
But are not you giving up two first-round picks to go get him?
They're not doing it.
And I don't would you them. Do it?
No, probably not.
And by the way, would you do it when you're 3-5, even though you're favored to win your division? Like, everything still has to go right.
Yeah.
Ed, you and I both said yesterday in the hallway that we would rather be contenders for the next 5 years than to risk it all for 1 year. When you start trading away those major draft picks, you're risking it all for 1 year. And Jeremy, you said something that I thought was half brilliant. If somebody else said it, it would have been completely brilliant.
Yeah.
But you said, if you, with all that you have to re-sign or all that you have to replace, how do you replace it with no draft picks? And I never even thought about that. I don't want to give up those draft picks anyway. But how am I going to replace these people if I don't have the draft picks to do it? And if I sign all these acquire all these high salaries, do trades, that means I got to go out and get cheap labor. I don't have draft picks. I don't have cap room.
Or you end up having to do what the Saints did. It's like, we got the guy who led the league in touchdowns, and Jimmy Graham. Let's trade him because we can't afford him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you have these situations that happen where you start looking at players you can't afford, and now you're moving on from them. And, you know, I don't want to be in one of those situations as a fan. I know fans want everything now. It's like, give it to me now. I want to win. I want to win now. But at the same extent, the reason why you're in the playoffs every year and you have something to root for when we get into January is because of their business model and how they've done things.
They're smart.
Smart. I'm smart. I'm
and
smart.
And that was smart on the Orioles side, too.
I have no desire at all to say, hey, put all my chips in the middle of the table. We're going to try to win right now. What about next year? We're not worried about next year. I want to win this year.
Well,
but I want some kind of stability in my organization to know that I got a chance to get back next year.
Can I tell you who doesn't have to worry about next year? Fans. You know who does? The GM. He has to worry about next year, the year after that. This in football, in the NFL specifically, and I think in baseball as well, because you have the minor leagues and how you're trying to layer things to where, okay, if something goes wrong, this guy gets hurt or we lose him or we have to trade, whatever, I've got this replacement. I mean, it was like the Enrique Bradfield Jr. thing, although it wasn't quite matched up to when Cedric Mullins was ready to leave.
Right.
Is he eventually going to be your center fielder that replaces him? We all said that when they drafted him. So when it comes down to the NFL, like, you have to be thinking 3 years down the line. You have to look at, okay, if we make this move, we're going to have to pay somebody at this position because, all right, let's take Tyler Lindebaum. Say he prices himself out and somebody throws a boatload of money at him. Yeah, you're probably going to get your compensatory pick the following year, right? But when it comes down to it, are you going to be able to go, well, let's just go find a center in the draft. Oh, wait a minute. We traded away all those mid-round picks. Does that mean you're reaching for a center in the first round now because you know you have to have one? That's not their business model's been take the best player available, and I understand in certain years, yes, if it was a quarterback, you're not taking that quarterback. You're
right,
taking the
obviously
next.
Now, yeah.
But again, I think it's the right business model to have, and it's brought you two Super Bowls.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And I'm with you, Jeremy. Those guys that were out there, I would love to have them. And I think, you know, again, this is not me insulting fans, but I think we look at it one side. I would love to have those guys. Okay. There's a price. There's vehicles that I would love to have. I'm just not willing to pay what you're asking me to pay for them. There are players you love to have. Are you really willing to give up all of that for those players? I don't think so. I wouldn't. I don't want to do that.
So we talked about this actually walking in the hall yesterday, not during the show. This was after the show. I think it was Rob and I. And we were talking about just, I'd rather do it this. I like having a team as a fan that's always good. They don't win the Super Bowl every year, but they have won two. A lot of teams haven't won any, and I like that. Then trying to put all your chips in the way the Rams did, it worked for the Rams,
but it doesn't work
for a lot of people.
A lot of teams did it. A lot of teams went all in and missed.
Yes, and miss, and then you suck for a long time, and you may never get it back. And I mean, that I just...
People keep talking about the window closing. As long as you have eight, your window's open.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not going anywhere right now. And quarterbacks play into the mid-30s, and it's still good. And later, some of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
but people who say that, Ed, are still holding on to, he's a runner.
Yeah, right.
When he's
he won't hold, the body won't hold up. Yeah, yeah, all that.
He's become one of the more prolific passers in the National Football League. Shovels at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, we want to hear from you. Are you a little bit disappointed with what the Baltimore Ravens have done? Do they care too much about draft picks and not enough about now? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
7:46 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do the Ravens care too much about draft picks and not enough about right now? Let's go to Daryl in Baltimore. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, man.
Hey, yeah, I understand everything you guys are saying, and I really do, and I get it. But here's the thing. When Lamar's here, as long as Lamar's here, we're going to be good. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see at least one time for us really go for it. Like a guy like Max Crosby, I don't know about the salary cap, where we could get him underneath there or not, but I would give up a one or something next year for him. You know, because when you got a generator talent, you got to try to go for it now, man, because it's going to be a time. And I love Joe Flacco when Joe was here, but there's going to be a time when Lamar's gone. There was going to be life without Lamar.
Daryl, the word was it was going to take three number ones to get Max Crosby. So are you willing to do that?
I don't know if I would leave it with Joe.
So that's what I mean. Everybody wants it at their price. It's not at your price, Daryl. Is that the team that's giving them up, their price? And the reports were that it takes three number ones to get Max Crosby.
Look. I've said this. I'm more than willing. Like, I would like to see them make that move 1 year. I don't want to see them make that move where they give up just way too much to get something that you think is going to help you for this singular year, or maybe even if you sign them to an extension down the line. Giving up three first round picks is going to set your franchise back for a long time.
But see, my point is, he called in. I don't give up a number one for him. Okay, everybody would, but that's not the asking price.
Yes.
A number one is not the asking price is three number ones.
Look at what the Jets got for Williams. I mean, and Gardner.
You think you'll get Max Crosby cheap?
Exactly.
No.
He's better than both of them.
Look at the Rams. Yeah. They won that Super Bowl, and are they like, I know they're okay.
Right.
How long before they're relevant again, where they're actually making a run in the postseason? Could mm-hmm. they this year? Sure, I guess they could.
That was 5 years ago, though. It was 5 years ago.
But they haven't been relevant since, and now they're finally getting their draft picks back next year.
That's my boy. That's a five-year lull there. Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, hey, you just mentioned Williams, right?
Yeah.
So, if you was the Ravens, you don't think you wouldn't have gave up what the Cowboys gave up?
Negative.
You know, to get him?
No.
Like, I mean, I would have, man. I understand the Ravens, yes, they've been hitting on their first-round draft picks, but outside of maybe likely Matabike and Trenton Simpson, they ain't really been hitting on none of the other draft picks outside of the first-round draft picks, in my opinion, lately. So, I mean, if you can give up a second and a third or something like that, you know, to get somebody
Isaiah likely wasn't a hit?
No, I'm saying he was. I said likely Simpson to Matabike. Yeah, you got a hand this morning? Yeah, but, yeah.
What about the partner that wasn't a hit?
Yeah, all stout. Yeah,
the point is, I think beyond those three guys that you named, there are other hits. I mean, you're naming the best of the best, and I get that. But when you look at the roster as a whole, I think outside of those three people you named, there are other hits.
Well, I mean, we can sit here and go back. We'll dismiss 2025 because it's still very new. But you got TJ Tampa, Devontez Walker, Tez Walker, Adisa Isaac was a third-round pick. And then you go back to the year before that. Tavius Robinson was a fourth-round pick. Does he play more snaps on the defensive line than anyone else? Andrew Voorhees was a seventh-round pick, and he's on your offensive line. You go back the year before that, as you mentioned, Stout, Likely, Kohler, Travis Jones, Daniel Falele, no matter what you think, Jalen Armour-Davis. That that included Hamilton and Linderbaum in the first round.
That's just not true. I mean, that's those three guys are the only ones that hit. And you said you don't want to count 25, but I do. Who's the linebacker that's tearing it up right now?
You're talking about
the rookie Buchanan. What round was he drafted?
Fourth.
So I do count 25. This guy's he is contributing right now. And fourth, think about this: a fourth round draft pick is contributing as a rookie.
But it is funny when you go back through their history. Justice Hill, Ben Powers, fourth round picks.
Yeah,
come on, man! Like you guys, Deshaun Elliott. I mean, he's still playing in the league. you know, they traded Kenny Young. They drafted him in the fourth round, and he brought Marcus Peters here. I mean, just be fair when you're talking about it. I understand that fans want everything right now.
But that statement was completely untrue. Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Hey, Rob. You know, hey, look. I'm going to tell y'all something real fast, right? I'm going to tell y'all what I'll be doing when I'll be on hold, right?
Uh-huh.
I'll be already having ideas, but I'll be trying to add other ideas. Let me get y'all somewhere real fast. Because
go ahead.
I'm going to say, look. I'm going to say this real fast. I'm going to jump all over the place with my thoughts. Okay. But y'all say the way the Ravens do stuff, right? Uh-huh. Now, somebody say, well, you know, they need to go and hold on to their draft picks so they can be secure for the next 3 years. But let me ask y'all a question. Since Lamar been here, have the Ravens not made the playoffs? That's the first question.
In the years when he wasn't hurt, yeah, they made the playoffs every year.
Okay, but for the most part, so we already know what they can do. So we ain't about them making the playoffs. My whole thing is, let's take a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Well, Andy Reid was up there, right? Guys, now, hear me out now. Let me get this out.
Ain't nobody stopping you. Go ahead.
Let me say it, because sometimes I stop myself. That's why I got to keep going. Look, hey, Rob, real fast. When Andy Reid was there, they kept getting to the Super Bowl, right? But they wasn't getting past that.
Well, they got the NFC Championship. They got the Super Bowl once.
Okay, y'all get my point, though.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm saying. When he left, since the last, 8 years or something like that, the Eagles have been to the Super Bowl three times, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
the Ravens ain't but. Okay,
let's keep in mind. Yeah, his former team has been in the Super Bowl a couple of times, but his current team has won three.
Yeah.
let's keep that in mind.
And gone to what, five?
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. Yeah, you know, we tend to hold on to draft picks, but I mean, I wouldn't give up no three for Crosby, you know, that set us back, you know, and we tend to hold on to him. And I would give up two to get Crosby, maybe, but still, we I don't know. I just wouldn't make no big splashes giving up three because you really hurt yourself. But my biggest thing with the cost of if he didn't pull the trigger yesterday on that Cooper Rush and Rashawn to Dallas for a bag of balls and kicking feet. That's what I'm really mad about. He didn't pull the trigger on that.
Damn. Rashawn would still find a way to call us. He'd keep the Dallas station on hold while
I make
us.
The best point that was made. Guys, let's give up 2-3 draft picks in a year that you have to replenish so much from the roster. What are you going to do? That's the first good point you made in 2025.
Thanks, man. I thought you were going to say since I've been here.
No, that's a slight exaggeration.
Well, so the other thing that comes to mind here is like when you're looking at what you have and what you want to get and obviously where you want your team to be, you're factoring all that in. And as you said, like you have to start thinking about what's coming up next year. Like people want everything to go right for this singular season. And they don't, why are we worried about next year? Like, I thought it initially when Shiloh was talking that he was going to get to, well, if we go to the playoffs with Lamar, what does it matter if we trade our first round picks? Well, you've kept them every year that you've had Lamar here. You haven't traded them. So I do think it's ultimately important. And if you go back through the draft or the people going, I just got a message from somebody saying, we have too many fifth round picks. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as too many fifth round picks.
Picks are picks. Let's go to Homeless Ed. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Morning. Rob, no shtick this morning, no shtick. This is serious. I think there's no three first-round draft picks. It has to be a franchise quarterback that's disgruntled as another team. So never that. But the Ravens have always been frugal, like somebody saving for a rainy day. So occasionally you can get a new car off the lot. So I would have liked them – not go crazy, but if you're serious about making this run this year, if Harbaugh is serious about keeping his job, make a splash.
But that's not Harbaugh's decision. I mean, Harbaugh can be – those two things have nothing to do with one another. Harbaugh can be – let's say, just for argument's sake, that his job is on the line. Well, that doesn't speed Eric DaCosta up and what he's going to do in trade. Harbaugh has nothing to do with trades.
I know it's not a decision. I know it's not a decision, but what I'm saying, he can certainly have some influence. And just, look, the Ravens' late draft picks, either play for us or either go somewhere else, and we know the names of them. They're very talented in their scouting. I'm just saying, if you're saving for a rainy day, starting the season with the record we had, this seems like a rainy day.
I disagree with that. And let's go back to the Harbaugh thing. Jeremy and Ed, if I am – and I'm not even saying this is the case. If I know there's a chance that John Harbaugh could lose his job at the end of the season, what influence does he have in me bringing somebody in? You got none, because I'm not building a team for you now. So that John Harbaugh's sense of urgency be damned. That has nothing to do with what they're doing in the trade deadline.
The other thing that people have a problem with is the compensatory picks and the model. It's like, okay, so you guys don't want to move one of these picks, or you don't want to give up something and go acquire another player because it affects your compensatory picks and what you can make. And people are like, I can't believe they do that. Well, why? Like, you're losing out doubly on that if you make that move. You're losing your draft, and then you're losing another compensatory pick. Mm-hmm. So it's the things that you got to factor. Like when we talked about the qualifying offer in baseball, you're not going to trade a guy unless somebody's offering you something fair value.
Absolutely.
You're going to go offer him the qualifying offer, and if he leaves, then you go and get your pick back.
So you still get something back. Yeah. Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45. Ed Norris on the other side. We're giving out shovels.
Yes, sir. I'm giving mine to a New Jersey woman who highlights exactly what's wrong with America.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.